Radio. 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 Yep. Happy.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
I don't know, Aaron. I know that this isn't a popular position to take.
Okay.
Because it's one of those organizations that you're never supposed to say anything negative about.
Okay.
I'm getting kind of sick and tired of those freeloading weasels at the aquarium.
They're not freeloading. It's a loan they're going to pay back, they say.
That's because when they first started building this pavilion 5 years ago, they said it was going to be $113 million.
Right.
It's now up to $160 million.
Yes.
So it's $47 million over budget.
Right.
And now they need $20 million in loans.
Yes.
Oh, they sound like freeloading weasels to me.
Okay. But it's so beautiful. You've been to the aquarium, haven't you?
It's okay.
Yeah, actually, you're not wrong.
What's the aquatic equivalent of a weasel? Otter?
Yeah, sea otter. I'll give you an otter. Yeah.
Otters are so cute, though.
Beaver?
A beaver?
Yeah.
Is that technically aquatic?
I don't know, right? I mean, why not?
I'd give it to them.
Yeah, they're in the water. Yeah.
I don't know. We're spending $1 billion on the waterfront, bringing all these tourists down there. Why can't they be self-funding? Why do they need us? I don't understand any of this.
All right.
Crying out loud. Okay, and then, Nicole, could you do me a favor, too, please?
Of course.
I was listening to CBS News there at the top of the hour. They seem to be in deep mourning about Liz Cheney losing her primary last night. Could you send them some flowers on behalf of the Dory Monson Show?
On it.
To the news anchors at CBS. They just can't shake it. They are so sad about this. And sorry, a Wisconsin congressional primary is not huge national news, except they were dreaming that a Trump critic could somehow prevail. They didn't go on for 2 days about Jamie Herrera Butler when she got her butler kicked by Joe Kent down in Southwest Washington. But man, they were rooting for Liz Cheney there at the network, and all the media seemed to be just devastated by Liz Cheney losing last night. So we'll send them some flowers.
Yeah, I actually just pulled that cut of her comparing herself to Lincoln.
Do you have that?
Yeah,
I was going to ask for that.
I have it right here.
I wasn't planning on talking about it. Then I heard CBS and their mournful story about this.
I just pulled it.
Okay. The great and original champion of our party, Abraham Lincoln, was defeated in elections for the Senate and the House before he won the most important election of all. Lincoln ultimately prevailed. He saved our union, and he defined our obligation as Americans for all of history.
She's just delusional.
She's running for president?
So because she lost, that makes her equivalent to Abraham Lincoln in her demented worldview. That's great. That's just great. And then I heard her on one of the morning news shows today. I don't remember which one, but They were like begging her. So are you going to run for president? Yes or no? Well, if your party pretty much hates you, at least the most dedicated portion of your party hates you because you turned against your president, then, so Jamie Herrera Butler, she wasn't alone. But that does not make her presidential material, no matter how much these droolers in the media want to make it so. It does not. So we're gonna have to send a card with the flowers too. You're good at that sort of thing. What will the card say from us from the show?
Sorry for your loss. That's all I got.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry for your loss. Signed, Dory and Nicole. Okay. Good.
Good.
All right. So we're on it because I don't like hearing my top of the hour news anchors at the network sound so sad, but they're a little down today. I mean, what else do we have going on here before I get into? Oh, maybe that's it. Why don't we just, with that as mere prelude, get right to the big lead.
The big lead. I told you so.
Yeah, this is one that's particularly annoying to me. And as you know, I don't annoy easily. But the violent crime in our region is at a record pace. We had, you know, for the 2018, 2019, 2020, homicide, aggravated assault, rape, robbery, 4,700, 4,600, 4,400. Then last year, it exploded up to 5,300. This year, it's on a pace for more than 6,000 just in the city of Seattle. Homicides, aggravated assaults, rapes, and robberies, over 6,000. Why? Well, because there aren't any cops in Seattle. The police force is less than half of full funding and full number of full staffing. So if you have a guy with a gun kicking down your front door and you call 911 in the city limits, average response time is about 11 minutes, which means you and your family are probably dead unless you have something to fight back with. And the bad guys know this. We've got so many heroin and meth addicts who have moved here from around the country. They know that they're going to commit crimes every single day to feed their habit, and the crimes are going to go unpunished. So I heard Bruce Harrell. He's been talking about this. You know, in particular, there were just an incredible number of shootings this last weekend in Seattle. A 14-year-old girl was shot. A 16-year-old boy was shot. There was a club down near T-Mobile Park where 80 rounds of gunshots were fired. A man was grazed in the head. That's where the 14-year-old girl had been shot in the leg. By the way, that shooting happened after midnight at a sports bar down by the stadiums. And the 14-year-old girl had snuck out of her home, we're told, to be in that location where she then was shot in the leg. And I'm not a naive person. I can tell you with a certain amount of confidence that even at age 14, my wife and I knew where our girls were at midnight, any day of the week. Because if they weren't at our place, we were talking to the parents at whatever home they were supposed to be at. But we were, without fail, we were in, you know, talking with the folks at any home where our girls were guests. And if we weren't confident in the parents' ability or desire to supervise the kids, then our girls just didn't go there. But when I heard that, and I know that 14-year-olds starting to get a little bit of independence, but when I heard that at age 14, this girl sneaks out of her home to go to a sports bar that I don't know if it's associated with gang activity. I don't know. 80 shots were fired. So something bad was going on there. But now, they said in the last week, 29 shots fired incidents in Seattle. And our mayor, Bruce Harrell, who for some bizarre reason is getting the longest honeymoon imaginable for a mayor in Seattle, because Bruce Harrell is a huge part of why this problem exists today. But now that he's the mayor, he was talking yesterday about how upset he is about all the shootings.
These kinds of tragedies are quite frankly just unacceptable.
By the way, they're quite frankly unacceptable. Did you really have to add the quite frankly? I know people are just talking. They just spew out words. But we assume that everything you're saying is frank and honest. But, oh, you want to really make it hit home that this isn't just kind of unacceptable. This is quite frankly unacceptable. Yeah, okay, we get it. You take it very seriously, right?
These kinds of tragedies are quite frankly just unacceptable in the city of Seattle and in this country. In all these instances, I first want to express my heartfelt sympathy to the families, friends, and communities that are impacted. Safety is my, as mayor, my core charter responsibility in Seattle. Must be a place that's safe.
Okay, that is just a load of hooey, because your responsibility, number one responsibility, was safety, public safety, when you were on the city council. But Bruce Harrell did as much as anybody. I mean, he's not quite as bad as the out socialists on the Seattle City Council. But he embraced policies as a city councilman that laid the groundwork for all of this death and destruction and violence that we're seeing today. And the fact that he has never apologized for that, I can't take him seriously. It's quite frankly unacceptable. The next words out of his mouth should be, and I would like to sincerely apologize for the massive role that I played in creating all of this violence in our city. I have some audio proof. So back in 2018, when he was on the city council, Bruce Harrell, his brilliant idea was to hire criminals to help shape Seattle's legal system.
Also developing pathways, create sustainable opportunities for formerly incarcerated individuals to obtain city jobs.
Hey, by the way, I didn't notice that till just now. He didn't call it them inmates. He was 4 years ahead of the New York governor. He didn't call them inmates. He called them incarcerated individuals, which is what you have to call them in New York now. I just noticed that. How politically correct of you.
Create sustainable opportunities for formerly incarcerated individuals to obtain city jobs where they're able and in position to help shape and inform the city's criminal legal system.
Brilliant. Yes. Let's get former inmates. Sorry. That's the old Dory talking. Let's get formerly incarcerated individuals to help shape the city's legal system. I wonder if they're going to be on the side of justice or crime. Also, Bruce Harrell, as a councilman, he wanted to move money from law enforcement and from jail and warrants. People have a warrant out for their arrest. Let's get rid of those, too, because then they might land in jail.
Development of more efficient communication with other jurisdictions that would increase person-centered and restorative responses, such as warrant quashing, alternatives to incarceration, and better tools to connect individuals with the services that they need to address root cause.
I'm going to pause this for a second. I just want you to hear the moral certainty of Bruce Harrell there. He was so enlightened. He was so progressive. He had such ideas that were going to help all of these former inmate incarcerated individuals turn around their lives. He was going to quash their warrants so they wouldn't go to jail, because heaven forbid we put criminals in jail. But he had all of it. You can tell by his whole tone that he had this moral certainty. And that's why I say Bruce Harrell created many of the problems that now are ripping families apart and shredding lives. And it was because he was so interested in being an advocate for criminals instead of somebody on the side of justice and maybe punishing criminals.
Responses such as warrant quashing, alternatives to incarceration, and better tools to connect individuals with the services that they need to address root causes. Also, a framework to redistribute resources from law enforcement, courts, and incarceration to community-based services that support those most impacted by racism and incarceration.
Oh, you noticed that? So he wanted to move money from law enforcement and jails to all these social services. Now, you might think, well, that sounds like a nice idea, Dory. But that was 4 years ago. And what's happened? Well, record crime, record shootings, record murders. It didn't work. Now, we knew it wouldn't work. The reason I had those sound bites is because when he first said all this stuff back in 2018, I went on this radio show and I said, this is going to be a disaster. When you have a city council that is more interested in the criminals than the victims, then the criminals are going to win. And so again, this is Bruce Harrell years and years ago saying he wanted to move money from law enforcement and jails to restorative justice and community programs, and let's help them out.
resources. Also, a framework to redistribute resources from law enforcement, courts, and incarceration to community-based services that support those most impacted by racism and incarceration.
Because they're going to jail because of racism. Well, no, they're going to jail because they committed crimes. People of all races were going to jail because they were committing crimes. But Bruce Harrell was so concerned about, you know, everything's the problem of institutional racism. And so we're going to take money from the cops. We're going to take money from the jails. We're going to let criminals go. And he also said this.
There's so many moving pieces that it's when we're trying to look at the barriers to the reentry, it's also very seductive to go to what caused the incarceration to begin with. And so your report actually dovetailed into the causes, but you have to look at the causes because, you know, otherwise you're just looking at the results of the policies. So that's why I thought it was a good report tackling both areas.
So what were the causes of the incarceration? Committing a crime, right? No. No, it was society's fault. And then here's the one that you just can never forget. Bruce Harrell saying this.
The benefits of increased coordination can include dedicated paths for communities most impacted by racism and incarceration to inform criminal legal policies and reforms, development of non-criminalization approach to violence, substance use, mental health needs, trauma, and poverty.
Whoa. What? What are we going to do with violence? What are we going to do with people who are violent, people who commit violent crimes?
Forms, development of non-criminalization approach to violence, substance use.
Non-criminalization of violence. Bruce Harrell advocated that if somebody is violent, we won't make it a crime. The non-criminalization of violence. That was 4 years ago. So what's happened since then? His city, that he's now the mayor of, has a bloody weekend. Particularly black and brown people, the people that he said that he was going to help by not putting anybody in jail. They're the ones who are predominantly the victims of all of this violence. And you got black and brown children who are dying. You have black and brown families that are being ripped to shreds by the greatest tragedy a human can endure, the life of a child. We're on a pace for over 6,000 violent incidents, homicide, rape, violent assault in the city of Seattle. And I am here to tell you that Bruce Harrell, who everybody else in the media is giving this honeymoon period to, even though he's 7 months into his term as mayor, Bruce Harrell is now reaping what he sowed as a city councilman. He wanted to decriminalize violent crime. He wanted to take money away from cops and from the jails. It was a disaster then. It's a disaster now. Lives are being lost, and now he's so sad about it now. He's so upset.
These kinds of tragedies are, quite frankly, just unacceptable.
He's being very frank with us. It's unacceptable. Maybe he should not have advocated for everything that laid the groundwork for all of this crime in Bruce Harrell's Seattle. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you here at the bottom of the hour. And then another one of the extensions of this insane crime. Alexander J., now charged with murder. He stabbed a woman 10 times. He threw another woman down 3 flights of stairs. Now he's been charged with murder. And he keeps collecting our tax dollars. Isn't this a wondrous world? Details straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Aaron, can I share my most vivid Pike Place Market memory to commemorate this 115th anniversary?
Go ahead.
Okay. I remember this. I swear to you, I remember this like it was yesterday. I was 4 years old. My mom didn't have any money, and she partnered somehow with I don't know how many other families, 2 or 3 or 4. And we got this, this little area at Pike Place Market to have a garage sale.
Mm-hmm.
And had a chain link fence, at the front of it, and it was going to start at 9 a.m. And the fence opened right at 9, and people got trampled trying to get in.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And that's all I remember of the day.
That was going to be a happy memory.
Well, that's most of my childhood memories.
Okay, right there. Okay.
Very similar. But anyways, just to commemorate 115 years, I thought I'd share that with everybody.
So thank you for that. Happy
anniversary.
Happy anniversary, Pike Place Market. Yes.
Okay, there we go on that one. Let's see. Oh, man, we got some other news that I'm just hearing about for the first time. So we were just talking a moment ago about all of the violence here in Seattle, and my gosh, it just keeps on coming. We're just getting details on Seattle police. They're searching for a man who cornered a woman in an elevator in the Central District in an apartment building and beat her. And this is the video that's out of this is just Nicole, I know Fox 13 just posted this. Have you a chance to watch all of this now?
I've seen the video, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
It's pretty disturbing.
It happened. It's just getting released now. It happened on May 30th, but they're releasing the surveillance video because it looks like a nice apartment building. I'm watching the video right now, and this woman just gets on, and then a guy runs into the lobby, runs onto the elevator, and just immediately starts throwing haymakers and this woman, kicking her in the head. And he's not stealing anything. He just ran in to put a brutal beating on this young woman.
Yep. He catches the door before it locks, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, he grabs the door to the lobby as it was automatically shut, and he just runs onto the elevator, and you see him throw a couple of blows to her head. She immediately drops down to the floor, and then he starts kicking her in the head, and then he just runs out. He's not robbing her. Mm-mm. All he's doing, this is what I was talking about a couple of hours ago, by the way, that, you know, you have people like this mayor in Port Townsend who's normalizing violence against women. And it's disgusting, and it's manifesting itself in the most brutal and violent of ways. And then down in Tacoma, we're getting word that there was a group shooting a music video last night near midnight. A woman was holding her two-year-old. She was part of the group shooting the video. And that's when another group came to rob the video shooters, and the two-year-old girl get shot in the finger, taken to the hospital. And now they're looking for those criminals, those robbers, armed robbers who shot a two-year-old girl. But there's just kind of soullessness that we're seeing on the streets right now. And again, Bruce Harrell, look at the policies that you endorsed as city councilman years ago that laid the groundwork. People of Port Townsend, look at the kind of stuff that your mayor endorses and the kind of violent imagery against women that he tweets about. It's amazing. It's amazing that this is being tolerated. And, you know, again, I have to ask, where are all the real men? Because in most societies, if we saw normalized violence like this against women, the men wouldn't stand for it. They wouldn't stand for it. But now it's... There aren't many real men. There just aren't any.
You know, we were talking about that grocery attack the other day, and I was watching this Q13 video of it. And after the woman in the grocery store gets hit in the face, smacked, and thrown to the floor, two men almost step over her. Her phone flies. One kind of goes around the phone, and one goes into the next aisle, right? As she's lying on the ground after getting thrown by her head down to the floor.
Well, you know, we've been talking about this 21-year-old guy who randomly kicks women in the head. He kicked a woman sitting on a Metro bus. Another woman is planting flower bulbs down in Belltown. And he just blindside blasts her, fractured her eye socket and cheekbones. And she had, I think, 10 fractures in her face. But the one on the Metro bus, there are a bunch of so-called men on that bus. They didn't do anything. Everybody's paralyzed with fear. And... and they're more willing to watch violence against women than to risk violence against themselves. And I'll give you another example. Alexander Jay, the guy who brutally threw a 62-year-old woman down three flights of stairs at a Sound Transit station down in Chinatown neighborhood. Then he came up. He allegedly stabbed another woman 10 times. He's been sitting in jail ever since then. Well, there's a murder that Seattle police has been investigating. And by the way, it sounds like Seattle police did a great job with this murder investigation, because there was a guy who had his skull caved in, 31-year-old guy named Brent Wood, up in the Capitol Hill area. It happened the day after the woman was stabbed on the Metro bus and the other woman was thrown down three flights of stairs. So Alexander Jay was caught for those assaults against women. But they found a piece of rebar near where this 31-year-old guy was murdered. Had his head caved in with just brutal blows. The medical examiner said it was full swings of the rebar to this guy's skull. Any one of the blows likely would have killed him. And this just happened over and over and over again. And so finally the state crime lab report on the rebar comes back, and they're able to track it to Alexander Jay, who's sitting in jail. But what's the upshot of this story? Thanks to our good liberal system of justice. Well, now Alexander Jay, the prosecutor charged him with murder, along with those two assaults against the women, a stabbing, thrown down the stairs. Now they've charged him with murder. He's being held on more than $5 million bail. But we, the taxpayers, are still paying Alexander Jay. And that's because a Jay Inslee judge appointee in King County said, oh, no, he needs mental health counseling. And since we don't have any beds for him, we're going to punish the taxpayers by paying him $250 a day while he's in jail.
The government has not provided him a bed to get well in. That's barbaric.
We're barbaric. We didn't provide him a bed to get well in. We're the barbarians. Guy who crushes in skulls, guy who throws women downstairs, guy who stabs women. He's not barbaric. We're just not preparing him a bed to get well in. We're barbaric. And now that he's been charged with murder, the brother of the murder victim, Nathan, tells Fox 13.
He's very artistic. He has great art. I miss him.
And get this. We are still paying Alexander Jay $250 a day. So by a couple months from now, we will owe him, the taxpayers will owe him $36,750.
It's ridiculous. That's not right.
No, it's not right. Welcome to justice. In our liberal land. We really couldn't even make this stuff up, because people would say that's too fantastical for anyone to ever believe. Okay, we will up next count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio next on the Dory Monson Show. Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. So here's what happened in the seconds before I came back on the air. I felt my phone ringing. I tried to pull it out of my pocket. And I couldn't get it out. So Nicole, is something we should talk about off the, or on the air, or just was it an off the air conversation?
I was just going to go over our awesome audio and then a text I just got. I forwarded it to you.
You forwarded what to me?
A text from Bob. Well, it wasn't a text from Bob. It was a text regarding Bob Fergie Ferguson.
What did Bob Fergie Ferguson do?
Apparently he was campaigning. Joe Kent just sent out a tweet thanking him for supporting his challenger, whatever, in November. And I've gotten some text about how that's not really something the AG should be doing, campaigning for people drove he down, wants
Bob,
in Congress.
Bob Fergie Ferguson said, drove down to Clark County on Saturday to support MGP for Congress. That's the Democrat that's running against Joe Kent. I don't know her name. and defend democracy from Joe Kent. Oh, Bob Fergie Ferguson's going to defend democracy. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's really important work that he's doing there. Now, look, this is the guy who on company time urged his donors to fire me, Cairo to fire me.
That's why we sent it to you. I thought that, he's on a mission.
No, he is, man. He's the most out of control. Justice should be blind, and blustice should be gined. But no, justice is not blind in Washington. Bob Fergie Ferguson, he encourages his donors to get me fired. He's down campaigning. I wonder if he's taking vacation days when he goes down and campaigns. That's something we should check. We should FOIA that.
Well, it was a Saturday, but he's using his work Twitter. I don't think that's
it's
allowed.
Not a campaign Twitter. Bob Fergie, Bob Ferguson. Mark. It's at Bob Ferguson AG.
Mm-hmm.
So he can use his official government Twitter to campaign for Democrats. I'm glad people tipped us off on this. We'll do more on it tomorrow. That doesn't sound like it's. Oh, and I like Joe Kent's response. Thanks for coming, Bob. Please bring Jay with you next time. Judge me by my enemies. Nice job, Joe Kent. Mm-hmm. I love that. All right, with all that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
I hope the tide is starting to turn because it is absolutely insane to let biological boys and men compete against women and girls in women and girls sports. It's insane. There's a gigantic physical advantage, and it will ruin girls' sports. And I'm happy to say that as the midterms are rolling around, there are some people politically who are saying this is a winnable issue because nobody in their right mind can say that it's okay for men to compete against women in sports or boys against girls. And if you feel that way, then yes, I stand by what I said. You're not in your right mind. And finally, this is becoming a political issue. Here's an ad that's running. It shows a bunch of girls about to run a 100-meter race. And then a guy about the same age, they all look high school age. And then a guy wearing a man bun lines up in the blocks.
She trains at 6 a.m. every morning. She spent years working to shave off seconds. She's the captain of her school's team. He's just a mid-pack finisher. But not today. Unfortunately, this competition was over before it even began. Woke left-wing politicians are destroying girls' sports. Tell Biden and his radical allies, no men in girls' sports.
Yes, yes, yes! Absolutely. CNBC, the more left-leaning financial network, but even they cannot ignore that the economic recovery, especially in the restaurant industry, it is the very slowest in Democrat areas.
We're talking Minneapolis, Minnesota, not massive, but still down 54% in July.
Wow, that's a
San Francisco, look at this, down 46%. Seattle, New York, Washington, D.C. There's an interesting story developing there about whether people are going back to restaurants in some of those big metro areas.
What's going on with those? That's versus 2019.
Jeff, any hypothesis?
I think this is really amplified, talking about the dislocated reopening. And all of a sudden you talk about red and blue states.
Yeah, and in blue states, like Seattle, as mentioned there, the recovery is much, much slower because Democrats can't run an economy. And Joe Biden and Congress is proving that right now on a national level. All right. That's it. I'm going to miss you until noon tomorrow, for crying out loud. The John Curley and Sherry Elker show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. And I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon.
I know.
Wow. That was intense.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.